Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're in the middle of an amazing series on the promise, God's everlasting covenant. Today, the Sabbath, a covenant sign. You know, many people searching on Google because they're reading the Bible, they're hearing about Sabbath and Hope Sabbath School. That's how they find our study. But what is the importance of the Sabbath in the context of the covenant? That's our topic today. We're glad you joined us. And welcome to the team. We're back again. Here we are, Gideon's band. By now we know that means that seven of us are missing. But we're so thankful that God works in spite of the limitations, right? Mm-hmm. He's great. And you've been so patient too. You know, because of the distancing that we're not allowed to have our full team. But God's been blessing and you've been an important part of our study from week to week. Right now, we want to read a few emails from some of you. Thanks for writing to us, sshope@hopetv.org. Here is a picture, an email from Borneo, from a young lady named Yo-Yo. Yo-Yo. And she's part of the Mujin family. She says, "Dear Hope Sabbath School team, thank you so much for the lively and inspiring Sabbath School discussions every week. Our Sabbath School study has now come to another level for us." Isn't that beautiful? Actually, my father was the first in our family to have found Hope Channel on his cell phone. He faithfully listened and applied what he learned, and we were all inspired. This is Borneo, by the way. "As God has blessed us with a new TV monitor since the beginning of the pandemic, the whole family is now watching Hope Sabbath School."
Amen.
Praise God.
"Every Sabbath, whenever it's permitted, we continue to share the Sabbath School studies the Hope Sabbath School way." Thank you so much for the heartwarming songs and the themes. Oh, he says that we don't sound too bad. She says we don't sound too bad when we sing. "May God continue to bless each of you. Every member is such an inspiration, motivating and encouraging us to stay close to God." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, Yo-Yo, thanks for writing to us from Borneo. Greetings to your whole family. I hope you're all watching. All right, let's give a wave to the Mujin family, shall we? All the way from Borneo. We don't often get an email from that part of the world. Here's a note from Canada from Padme. Padme says, "I'm just 13 years old. I wanted to say thank you for sharing the Word of God with the whole world."
Amen.
"You guys inspire me and so many other people." Well, thank you, Padme, for writing to us from Canada. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Here's a note from Alabama in the United States. "My wife and I," Preston writes, "my wife and I watch Hope Sabbath School every Friday evening and sometimes during the week. I want to let you know that we have learned so much from your studies. We would like to encourage you to keep spreading the gospel, and please know that your channel is in our thoughts and prayers."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Preston, thanks for writing to us from Alabama in the United States. Here's another donor note, real note, from Wyoming in the United States. Travis, you love Wyoming, I know. I'm not going to give the donor's name, but I am going to say that the donor says, "This is an offering for missions, winning souls for Christ, and revealing the truth of God's word, even as Jesus declared it. I am 67, and time is drawing close to the return of Jesus. Yet I find so many churches falling into the abyss of liberalism and away from the Bible. Give my blessing to the Hope Sabbath School group." And the donor included a gift of $200 for Hope Sabbath School.
Praise God.
Amen. Well, if you're in Wyoming, you know who you are because I just read your note. But I'd say thank you to all of our donors. We are a donor-supported ministry. And when you partner with us, whether it's $2 or $200, you're part of the miracle of God. You can just go to hopetv.org/donate, or you can go to our website, and there's a button there that says donate. When you click on it, we all smile because we're all part of the miracle of God together. Well, we have one last note from Tanzania, from Benjamin. And Benjamin writes, "By the way, God is blessing the work in Tanzania. just amazing. We have a channel there called Hope Channel Tanzania. They will hold meetings and broadcast to 4,000 locations. Mm-hmm. And tens of thousands of people are committing their lives to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
That's just so exciting. Well, this is from Benjamin. He writes, "Hello, Hope Sabbath School team."
Hello.
Let's give him a wave all the way to Tanzania. "I love you and I'm blessed through your program. Do you know what? My wife and I watch Hope Sabbath School every week. Mm. I even download the audios and the scripture songs and I play it in my car. May the Almighty God bless you as you continue to commit yourselves in sharing the gospel of Christ Jesus, who strengthens you." Well, Benjamin, thanks for writing from Tanzania. Right now, we need your help and all of our Hope Sabbath School members around the world with our theme song. With the restrictions here right now with the pandemic, we're not allowed to sing in the studio, but you can sing where you are. It's a beautiful scripture song, 3,000 years old, but so precious today from Psalm 105. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name." Let's sing it together.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him. Make known his deeds among the peoples, sing songs to him. Talk about
going to call upon the name of the Lord right now, just like it said in the song. Pray that he'd bless us as we study about the Sabbath, a covenant sign. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we know that without your Holy Spirit's blessing, we'll just speak human words. But we're praying that a miracle would happen in Hope Sabbath School today. Mm-hmm. We're praying that the Holy Spirit who inspired the prophets, the Holy Spirit who preserved this word for us, would speak to our hearts, not only here in the studio, but around the world as we study your word together today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to start in Exodus chapter 31 and verse 16. And Brittany, if you could start our study today, and we're going to start exploring the gift of the Sabbath and who the gift was for. Exodus 31.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Exodus 31, verse 16. "Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant."
Now, if that was the only text in the Bible about the Sabbath, what logical conclusion could you come to? Anybody? Yes, Harold.
It was just made for the children of Israel, like the Sabbath.
You would come to that conclusion that this was something that God wanted the children of Israel to observe. Mm-hmm. But isn't there somewhere in the Bible, Travis, that talks about line upon line and precept upon precept in Isaiah chapter 8, right? So if we look elsewhere in the Bible, what do we discover about the Sabbath? Well, let's start with Jesus, because I always like to go there. Harold, could you take us to Mark chapter 2? You say, "Derek, why do you always like to go to Jesus?" Answer, because I'm a follower of Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and
the life.
And he's my Savior, Son of God, and soon coming King. So it's always good to hear what Jesus has to say on any topic, whether it's his return, what happens when we die, how to be saved. Harold, what does he say recorded in Mark 2, verse 27.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, "And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath."
Now you keep your place, because I'm going to have you read the next verse. But what is Jesus saying very clearly in that declaration?
Mm. Brittany?
Sabbath was made for mankind.
Yeah, all right. And it's not just talking about men, right? The Sabbath was made for the human family. We're going to go back to the book of beginnings in a minute. Mm-hmm. But someone might react and say, well, that's the opinion of Jesus, right? By what authority is Jesus saying that the Sabbath is for the whole human family? Well, Harold, could you keep reading for us in the next verse, mm-hmm. Mark chapter 2 and verse 28?
Yep, and verse 28 reads, "Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath."
Well, now I have another question. By what authority does Jesus say, "I'm the Lord of the Sabbath"? Mm. Travis?
Because he's God.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Gospel of John, and I think we'll find the answer, and then we'll go back to Genesis chapter 2. Tricia Lee, if you could read for us some verses that may be very familiar to some Christians, but maybe someone on our Hope Sabbath School telecast is hearing it for the first time today. By what authority could Jesus say, "I'm not only going to tell you that the Sabbath is for the whole human family, but I'm going to claim to be what?
Lord of the Sabbath."
Lord of the Sabbath. By what authority? Let's look in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 14.
Reading from the New King James Version. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." Mm-hmm. Verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth."
So who is this Word who was in the beginning with God and who was and is God? Who's that Word?
Jesus.
That's right. The Son of God, actually, who became flesh, then called Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will
save
his people from their sins. He wasn't called Jesus before, was he? Mm-hmm. In the incarnation, he's given the name Jesus. He is the eternal Son of God, the Word of God, who becomes flesh. And it says all things were made
by him.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to the creation account. We're not going to read the whole chapter 1 of Genesis, but I would like to ask Gladys if we could read Genesis chapter 2, the first three verses. Because typically when we think of creation, we would think of, well, trees and plants and fish and animals and the human family. But something else was created, mm-hmm. or, well, let's see what the Bible says. Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3.
I'm reading from the New International Version, and it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done."
I caught myself there saying he created Sabbath, but maybe Sabbath is from eternity past, mm-hmm. as a special blessing for not only our creation, but for all of creation. But the Creator, the Word of God, eternal Son of God who becomes flesh and claims to be the Lord of the Sabbath, What message do you hear him conveying in the setting aside of this seventh day for our human family? Mm. Brittany?
I think he's saying this is special, sacred time that I'm setting apart to spend with you. And I'm inviting you to join me in that special time so we can build this relationship.
Now, that's long before Abraham, right? Abraham's a couple of thousand years later, right? Mm-hmm. And he's the father of the children of Israel, right? Or the Jewish people. So does Jesus have it right, Harold, mm-hmm. when he says the Sabbath's for the whole human family?
Yes, it's for the whole human family.
Does he have it right saying, "I'm the Lord of the Sabbath"?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
By the way, if we want to learn the true blessing of Sabbath, study the life of Jesus, mm-hmm. because he's the Lord of the Sabbath, isn't he?
Yes.
Now, Gladys, you read that at the end of the creation that God rested mm-hmm. on the seventh day. He blessed it. And what was the other thing he did?
Sanctify it.
He made it holy. So we know God can speak worlds into existence, right? And it doesn't make him tired, right? Mm-hmm. He is, what do we say when you're all powerful? Omnipotent. Right? He's omnipotent. So why do you think he takes this seventh day after creating our planet and the human family, at least the nucleus of the human family, why does he take this day to rest, Tricia Lee?
You know, I think about, you know, maybe a good analogy is after you or I have taken a long time to do something, you want to enjoy it. You kind of want to sit back and just enjoy the work of your hands. In the case of God, I wouldn't say it was a lot of effort for him to create, but I think that he created this special time so he could sit back and enjoy it with us. With the human family. He didn't rest after he made the animals. He rested after he made us. So I believe Brittany, when she said he wants to spend time with creation, spend time with us, I think that's a part of making it special, making it holy.
And if you read chapter one, of course, the sixth day of creation is not only the animals, but the human family. Mm-hmm. Let us make man in our image, male and female. He created them, right, Travis?
You know, something just dawned on me as Tricia Lee was speaking is that I've built houses and I've taken pictures of them when I've gotten done. And I've built so many that I've forgotten the pictures and they're long gone. And I thought, if God hadn't got the Sabbath, it would have been just like he created a world and then he forgot about us. But it's not that. Mm. It's like weekly, he's like celebrating us and our creation. I don't have pictures in my portfolio that are that old of all the houses that I've ever built. But God yet has set aside this day where it's like, For thousands of years, he's coming back and said, these are my people, this is my creation, this is my world. And so, yeah, I just gained that vision. It's like, wow, that is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tricia Lee, in a previous study, you led our study on covenant law. Take us to Exodus 20. The covenant law is, I like what Brittany said in a previous discussion, is like a loving parent wanting to protect the relationship. Mm. And in the context of those commandments, we find the fourth of those commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Mm. Could you read that for us? Maybe someone, again, is hearing this for the first time. And if you're hearing this for the first time, listen to the first word in this commandment.
The New King James Version reads, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day mm-hmm. and hallowed it."
Mm-hmm. How many commandments are there?
Ten.
There's ten. How many of them begin with the word remember?
One.
None.
Only one. How many of the commandments does God want us to remember?
All
of them. So why does he place a special marker at the beginning of the fourth commandment and say, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? By the way, let me just say there's more than one answer to this question, mm-hmm. but it is an important question, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't say, remember to have no other gods before me. Remember not to make idols, graven images. Remember not to take my name in vain. And those are all very important. Travis?
I was just reading in the book of Matthew, and I came across three words that caught my attention. It was remember Lot's wife. And so then I thought, what happened with Lot's wife? And so God brought my focus back to the story, and it made me realize, wait, I don't want to do that. And so I started thinking, wait a second. He said, remember the Sabbath. He wants to bring us back to creation, back to his redemptive work, back to his creative work, so that we don't, as we get closer to his return, forget that God is the one who sustains us. God is the one who made us.
Amen. Amen.
Someone want to add to that? That's certainly an important point. He doesn't want us to forget.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Harold.
Well, the thing about the Sabbath, one way I've heard it is that every artist, every painter leaves a signature after they're done, after they take back, you know, a bag and look at the work. And actually, as Trisha Lee pointed out, they want to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. They enjoy it. So I see the Sabbath as the signature. And when we are told in the fourth commandment to remember, it's like God is trying to bring us back. Remember where you actually came from. Remember your identity. You have an identity.
Okay.
Because in this world, Satan is trying to change that identity, that we can be our own selves, gods, or we can believe something else. But no, God is saying, no, actually you have a father. You have a heavenly father, and he is a loving father. And I don't want you to forget that.
Remember your identity. Don't forget. But I think there's something more we've been learning about this covenant-making God, isn't there? Brittany and then Trisha Lee.
I was just thinking about even the practicalities of when you're getting together with a friend, maybe you haven't seen them in a while and you want to make a special appointment or date to get together. Sometimes you put a reminder on your calendar, or maybe you text each other and say, hey, we're going to get together on this day, you remember? And it's almost like God is giving us a weekly reminder that, hey, I want time with you. Mm-hmm. You're getting so busy with your work and with everything that occupies your energy and your time. Remember, I want time with you. And so it's a weekly reminder for us, oh, yeah, my relationship with God should be first.
You brought a key word, which I'm going to hold on to after Trisha Lee's comment. Trisha Lee, do you want to add to that?
Brittany gave my comment.
Okay.
I was just going to say it's a calendar appointment, a weekly calendar appointment.
And it's a relationship.
Yes.
It is not just a legal obligation. Mm-hmm. It's a relationship with a God who loves us, creator and redeemer, mm-hmm. who loves us with an immeasurable and unfailing love. Mm-hmm. That's why he says, remember, that's the positive of don't forget, right? Mm-hmm. Don't forget. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate, Harold, what you said, too. Remember your identity. Mm-hmm. Now, as you study sacred history, that Sabbath is also given to the descendants of Abraham as a sign, right? They end up in captivity, mm-hmm. or in slavery, I should say, in Egypt for hundreds of years. And the Sabbath is basically, well, I'm sure they're not allowed to take one day off to just worship their God. Mm-hmm. So the Sabbath is basically obliterated from open practice in their lifestyle. How does God reestablish that precious truth, both for the chosen descendants of Abraham, mm-hmm. who are to be a kingdom of priests, right, mm-hmm. to the world, mm-hmm. but also for all humanity, because the Sabbath is for the whole human family? Mm-hmm. Can somebody help me? How does he do that? Yes, Brittany?
Well, first he delivers them from captivity, mm-hmm. and shows them that they can trust him. And then he gives them the promise of the Sabbath again, reminding them, hey, this is important. So first he delivers them from their bondage, just like spiritually speaking, God delivers us when we accept his salvation. And then he teaches us how to have that relationship with him.
Yes, Trisha, I was thinking even before he tells them, remember the Sabbath day, he does something to reinforce that.
I was going to say that he uses something that is as practical as life itself, mm-hmm. the act of eating, survival in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. He ties reintroducing them to the Sabbath to him providing them bread from heaven, the manna, mm-hmm. to providing them the food that they would need to live. And he does it in a very special way, in that there's this extra special provision of that food on the Sabbath day. So even
actually,
by
there's
the,
no food on the Sabbath
there was,
day, right?
They had extra provision on the day before, so they wouldn't have to go out and work, but they had extra.
Okay, where's that found? It's somewhere.
Chapter 16 of Exodus.
Would you read it for us?
Sure.
I hear people say it's somewhere in the Bible. It is. It's not just something that's made up. And as Trisha Lee pointed out, it's not just about them having food. Mm-hmm. It's about them knowing that special day that he's blessed. We could read the whole chapter, but why don't we look at the first six verses of chapter 16, and then I'll have us take a look at verses 23 to 30.
The New King James Version reads, "And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt.
So if we unpack the story, this bread from heaven, by the way, the word manna means what is it? They didn't know what it was. But it was edible, and they could grind it and make it into different dishes. This came every day, except on the sixth day.
Twice as much.
And what other miracle was there about the manna? Yes, Brittany?
It didn't spoil. So if they kept it on one of the other days, it would spoil by the next day. But on Friday, they got double the portion, and it didn't spoil all the way through Sabbath.
And you use our English word Friday, but the sixth day for them, right? On the Sabbath, it preserved. And what happened on the Sabbath?
They had enough.
They didn't have any in the manna.
There was none to collect, right? None to collect, but it lasted over, and they had enough food to eat. What does that tell us about God and this sign? What does it tell us? Yes?
I felt like as I read this, Derek, studying the lesson, that God was establishing a trust relationship with them. That he wanted to show them that he could be trusted. Because you would be tempted if you had no food to gather more on the other days. And so God was building a trust relationship.
Okay, so that's one important lesson. Mm-hmm. God says, trust me each day. Don't try to get 5 days worth of food so you don't have to trust me tomorrow or the next day. What other lesson, Gladys?
Well, God wanted to show them that he will provide even for the smallest things. Food is something that you will say, you know, maybe.
It's small, but you die without it, right?
Exactly, you die without it. And they're in the desert, so he was providing even for the small.
So he's providing for the basic things of life, but there's got to be some more lessons in this whole story. He can be trusted. What else?
This day, the seventh day is special. He didn't want them to have to go out looking for food.
I could conclude then from Exodus 16 that God doesn't say, would you like to take one day in seven and remember me as your creator? People say, wouldn't that be a good thing? I'd say, yes. Except God said there's a specific day, and he identified that. How many times, anybody here good at math? How long were they in the wilderness? How long did they receive the manna? 40 times 360? No. The manna came a little bit after they got started, but someone do the math. You say, Derek, that's a lot of miracles that pointed. Which specific day was that Sabbath day? Is that right?
Yes.
Very, very clear. Now, we would all agree that they lost sight of the beauty of Sabbath in terms of the relationship and made it a legal obligation. Mm-hmm. But there was no question which day it was. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe you're watching Hope Sabbath School and you say, Derek, I think it's a great idea. God's blessed this Sabbath day. We should remember it. And, you know, we get emails from people, don't we? Mm-hmm. They say, I just started reading my Bible. I learned about the Sabbath. Googled, found Hope Sabbath School. Mm-hmm. But what about today? How can we know that the same day that God blessed at creation, the seventh day as a Sabbath rest, setting it apart, how can we know which day that is today? That's a good question, right? Mm-hmm. Who'd like to answer that one? Harold?
Well, Jesus, when he died, he rested, on the Sabbath, in the sense that you even see Mary Magdalene and all the other women who tried to prepare the spices to embalm Jesus' body. But they didn't dare to actually, they didn't do it on Friday. It wasn't enough time because the Sabbath was still
beginning.
Beginning. And also Jesus did say in Matthew 5 that he is here to fulfill the law.
Right.
He was going to keep everything.
But I'm thinking chronology, right? I'm thinking days of the week. How do we know? Now, you say there's more than a billion Christians. Yeah. If you ask them which day Jesus rose from the dead, Whatever language they're speaking, Tricia Lee, what would they say?
They'll say the first day of the week.
Easter Sunday, mm-hmm. the first day of the week. Mm-hmm. Now, you were giving us a little description of Luke. Let's read it together, shall we? Mm-hmm. Luke 23, verses 54 through chapter 24, verse 2. Because very clearly, we see the chronology of days mm-hmm. spelled out. Mm-hmm. You know, if I, like I said, there are some Christians, they say, well, you know, we don't really know which day is the Sabbath, but they know which day Christ rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. It was Easter Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. Brittany, could you look at that text with us, starting in Luke 23, verse 54? I know many people have read this and they say, it's so clear. We know which day is the day that God blessed as the Sabbath. Mm-hmm.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Luke chapter 23, verses 54 through 56. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment.
And read on the first two verses of the next chapter, please.
Chapter 24, verse 1 says, Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb.
Hmm. Preparation day, mm-hmm. Sabbath, according to
the commandment.
Mm-hmm. First day.
First day. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, yep. right? Mm-hmm. Which day is the Sabbath? Answer, well, we could ask the children of Abraham too, because they've been keeping the Sabbath in weekly cycle. Mm-hmm. But what we need to understand is that the Sabbath is not just for the children of Abraham. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's for the whole human family. Yep. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Well, let's keep studying about the Sabbath in the context of the covenant. Let's go to Exodus 31. Verses 14 through 17. Why do you think the Lord chose the Sabbath as a covenant sign? Exodus 31. Gladys, could you read verses 14 through 17 for us?
Yes, I'm reading from the New International Version, Exodus 31, verses 14 to 17. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it, it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.
Mm. Doesn't it sound very severe if you don't follow that command? It's called holy, mm-hmm. holy to the Lord. Now, we don't practice that today. Of course, these were slaves just brought out of Egypt. Why do you think the consequence was so severe for trampling on a day that God called holy? Hmm. It does sound severe, doesn't it? They're stone cut off. Travis?
One could ask the question, why is it severe, such a severe penalty for Eve to eat from a tree? Hmm. You could really ask the same question. It's because God told her not to. You could just say, well, it's just a tree or it's just fruit. And we could say it's just a day. But God set it aside and made it holy. Mm-hmm. And the word that they use here, that they would be cut off, is the same word that was used for the Messiah, to be cut off. And he was cut off for people who broke the Sabbath. Mm.
Mm. Back to what we just talked about. Did they know which day was the Sabbath? They're like, we don't even know which day it is. And you're going to kill us if we desecrate some day that you've said is holy and blessed? Mm-hmm.
But I just want
did
to...
they know which day it was?
Yes.
How did they know?
From the manna.
From the manna. Every week. Yes. They knew exactly which day was the Sabbath, mm-hmm. and God showed them supernaturally the day he'd set apart. Brittany?
I was just going to add to what Travis was saying. There's other verses in Exodus that talk about how the Sabbath is a sign that that God is the one who sanctifies us or who makes us holy. Mm-hmm. And when we think about that, as well as what we just read, that the Sabbath is pointing to who created us, then when we're working on the Sabbath, or when they were working on the Sabbath and they were cut off, there's a spiritual meaning to that, because salvation cannot be earned. We cannot work in order to be saved. We have to rest in what Jesus has already done for us, and we have to allow him to do his cleansing, saving, making us holy. So when they are working, it's like we're going to earn our way, or we're going to provide for ourselves, rather than saying, wow, God's the one who saved us. He's the one who's changing us.
Beautiful.
Harold, and then Trisha Lee.
And I also want to add to that is, as you pointed out, the people of Israel were taken out of Egypt. So people actually desecrating or disobeying God's orders, is you're compromising the faith of other people as well. Mm-hmm. And we see that even in the New Testament, when the Christ Church was growing, that there were people who were the Holy Spirit, I mean God, they were snuffed out. Like we think of Ananias and Sapphira, where the faith was growing, and their example could compromise the faith of others. So whenever there's greater revelation, I believe there is greater responsibility as well. And we see that in the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Trisha Lee?
I'll just add to that. In a way, I see this as, you know, God telling his people, if you don't take this seriously, nobody else will take this seriously.
Because you're the kingdom of priests, right?
You're the kingdom of priests, and you're the ones who are supposed to teach other people. So I think that if you take it seriously, then you won't do these things. No, you won't have to put anyone to death and actually go this extreme. But I'll agree with Harold in that I think God wanted them to take it very seriously so that other nations would also take it seriously.
Now, even today, because the Sabbath was made for the human family, and that means if you read from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, God's the same. He doesn't change, right? The Sabbath, there are still negative consequences for disregarding the Sabbath than even today. We don't try to stone people, right? There's a lot of people who disregard Sabbath. No wonder the Lord said, remember, that was one reason. He knew a lot would disregard. But what are some of the negative consequences that people experience if they do disregard this day that God blessed? Practically, what are some negative consequences?
Well, practically, I think about Harold's comment on that you can lose the knowledge of origins, our true beginnings. And I think it gives room for these theories and ideas that we came from strange things, other animals are evolved, that we don't have a creator. And I think that it also, you know, practically speaking, if you don't tell someone to rest, they will work themselves to an early grave. They will work 7 days a week as much as they can to make a living or to make money or what have you, not realizing that God said, stop, because I can take care of you on that day and take care of all your needs.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to miss some of the blessings that God wants to give you in that relationship.
Yeah,
Gladys?
I was basically thinking of the same thing that Trisha Lee was saying. The person will have a nervous breakdown. It will be so overwhelmed with everything, just like the days just merge into one another and just going over the same thing, just work, sleep, eat, sleep, you know, and all the worries of life. In a practical way, you know, it weighs down on you.
So our Creator gives us permission. An invitation, a loving invitation. Slow down, Harold. Slow down, Brittany. How many of us need that?
All of us.
Yes, we do. Thank God for that invitation to not miss out on the blessings. Now, Brittany, you mentioned in a previous comment about the Sabbath is also a sign of the God who sanctifies us. Let's look at that, shall we, in Exodus 31. And verse 13. Would you read that for us? Exodus 31, verse 13.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Exodus 31, verse 13. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you.
This old, kind of an old English word, I don't think many people use the word sanctifies anymore. What does that word mean?
Make holy.
To make holy. Mm-hmm. But there's another key word in there, that you may know. Mm-hmm. What's the significance of that? It doesn't say you may know about, right, the God who, but you may know. Yes, Brittany?
I think about in the New Testament, in John chapter 17, verse 3. Should I read that verse? Should we go there?
Jesus says something about knowing God, right?
John 17
and verse 3.
And Jesus tells us how we have salvation. John 17, verse 3, and I'm reading through from the New King James Version. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
This idea of knowing, then, is an intimate relationship, right? You may know, back to Exodus, I'm the Lord who makes you holy. Mm-hmm. How does a relationship with the Lord, Tricia Lee, help me with this one. How does a relationship with the Lord result in holiness in my life?
That's a really great question. I think that if we have a relationship with God, He is holy. And really, you know, He brings that holiness to us. And He helps us to live out that holiness in our lives. I think that He becomes a Lord of our lives, Lord of our heart, Lord of our thoughts, our minds. And I think that's what starts to sanctify us. We start to become like Him because we're spending so much time in His presence. You can't help but be changed.
So that connecting relationship with the Holy God results in that holiness being reflected. Reflected in our lives, Gladys?
Yes, the Bible says that we are changed or transformed by what we spend time looking or watching. So when we spend time with the Lord, it's just like in an intimate relationship, just like a husband and wife. Have you seen when they have been married for a long time? After a while, they start looking alike and finishing each other's sentences, and people look at them and they're like, wow, they're like in sync. And that's what God wants us to be with Him, in sync.
Wow. So Sabbath as a sign that God makes us holy. Tie all of that together. What's the relationship between remembering this special day God has blessed and the holiness of God being reflected in our lives? Tricia Lee?
Well, first I think about a comment that Travis made about the creation and salvation. And I think that, you know, if we pause and remember what God has done as creator, why He rested and why He blessed the day, that He wants to recreate us. I think so. One, He's the creator. He can recreate, you know, His image in me, make me like it should be in the beginning. And I think also the fact that I am resting reminds me that it's not anything I do myself, that I'm really trusting God to do it for me, that the salvation comes from Him as creator and recreator, not from me. So I think about both of those that tie back Sabbath to the rest, to salvation, to the transformation.
Doesn't He want to do that every day of the week?
Yes.
So again, what's the significance of this one special 24-hour period? You know, it begins when the sun goes down on what we call Friday, right? At the end of the sixth day, the evening and the morning, right? And it goes till the sun goes down on the seventh day. What if He wants that transforming relationship all week, why does the Sabbath become a special sign? Yes, Brittany.
I think it's for us. It's for our benefit. It resets our minds because we should be spending time with the Lord each day and in His Word, but we also have to do our other responsibilities.
Isn't it saying the commandment somewhere, 6 days
shall work?
Labor. So you're working hard for 6 days with an awareness of His presence.
Definitely. But then on Sabbath, it's like I can put all of that aside so I can focus my full attention on you, God. And then we're able to reset our focus for the rest of the new week ahead that, oh yes, my relationship with God is first.
So I want to give you an opportunity to share a Sabbath experience where just, okay, I've been working hard all week. I'm just going to accept this precious gift from my Creator and my Redeemer because He's Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus, right? He's Lord of the Sabbath. And in that time, you just sense God drawing you into intimacy with Himself. That bless your life. Someone want to share a testimony? Tricia Lee, you're smiling.
Yeah, I think about some spiritual insights that I don't have a specific example, but it happens so frequently where I'm either struggling to understand something in the Bible or I'm struggling with a personal decision. I literally don't know which way to go. And, you know, it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You're just searching for understanding. You're praying. And many times God gives me the assurance and I just say, I know you're going to bless me on Sabbath. I know you'll answer this question on Sabbath. I know you'll give me direction on Sabbath. And sure enough, whatever I've been confused about or studying to find the answer, it's as if something happens, the blessing on that special day, everything comes together. I find the scripture that I need. It's as though I feel his Holy Spirit speaking to my heart, and it is answered, completely answered, that question or that whatever it was that I needed to make a decision. And it gives me joy because, you know, maybe he didn't choose to answer it right away when I wanted him to, but he gave me the assurance that's like, you know what, you can look forward to something coming on Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And I've appreciated that in our relationship, is that he gives me hope in that moment, hope that I can look forward to something coming at the end of the week.
Beautiful testimony. Someone else, a time when you just experience that intimacy with God, which blesses our lives. Mm-hmm.
Yes, when I was full-time teacher, I was raising a five-year-old that was dropping in my house, and also I was taking classes for my master's degree. So you can imagine my life teaching the whole day, running home, making dinner, preparing, helping with homework, and then I have to study after I put the little girl to sleep. So I will be sometimes up till 11, 12, midnight, 1 or 2 in the morning studying to wake up the next day, 5 o'clock in the morning to do the same thing. The knowledge that the Sabbath was coming was just a breath of fresh air, just a breath of fresh air every week. And just physically feeling that relief when Friday afternoon will come, preparing, even the preparation of the dinner was different because it was just like, yes, this is my sacred time with God in a special way.
And by the way, if we're listening really carefully, the Lord might say, you need a little more sleep during the week as well.
Yes.
Because you'd be up to 1 or 2 and you get up at 5, right? It's practical, isn't it?
Yes.
Giving us guidelines. Someone else, an experience where Sabbath was really special. Travis.
For me, you know, when I had, of course, I used to hunt. And so when I started keeping the Sabbath, I would take the day off and I would spend a couple weeks away. And so I would be bundled up because it would be in the fall. And I would get up in the bluffs in Nebraska overlooking the Missouri River. And I would just get up there, bring my Bible, and just look out over the landscape and just enjoy. And it was just like, it was recharging for me, just knowing that. And of course, that was, you know, my experience back. And so the Sabbath was a big part of me coming back and gaining and having a relationship with Jesus.
So instead of shooting God's creation, you were enjoying it.
Right.
Yeah, and that's part of a growing journey, isn't it? And Sabbath was that's
I quit shooting right. God's creation, by the way.
I know you did. I know. And that's part of the journey, isn't it?
Yes.
Right.
As God leads us into a fuller reflection of his character. Mm. As we've been studying about the Sabbath as a sign of our covenant with God, and by the way, that covenant continues with those who are children of Abraham by faith, right? Mm-hmm. That new covenant, his laws written in our hearts, that sign continues until Jesus comes again and on into eternity, mm-hmm. right? But I want to conclude our study today by reinforcing that the Sabbath becomes a particularly important issue in the end time. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look in Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. We know from Exodus 20 that it's a sign of our Creator's love. Mm-hmm. But as you've alluded to, Travis, and Harold, in terms of the death of Jesus and his resurrection, Sabbath was not done away with. In fact, the Sabbath, Jesus rested in the tomb, mm-hmm. right? The Sabbath is still significant in the work of our Creator, mm-hmm. who rose again and is coming again soon. But let's look at this prophecy in Revelation chapter 14. And Shirley, if you could read verses 6 and 7 for us. We may not hear the word Sabbath in these verses, but we hear the fourth commandment. Let's see what it says.
Reading from the New King James Version. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water.
Those last words, worship him who made, created, mm-hmm. what?
The heavens,
the earth,
the sea, and springs of water.
What does that remind you of?
Creation.
The fourth commandment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just goes right to the fourth commandment. Mm-hmm. And in a broader sense, to Genesis 1 and 2 that speaks about the creation. But it's almost like taken right out of the fourth commandment. Mm-hmm. Reverence God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Careful study of Bible prophecy would say we're then living in the time of the end, right? Mm-hmm. Right? We're almost home. Jesus is soon to return. And a call to remember the Sabbath, mm-hmm. right? Worship the Creator. Why is that precious gift given at creation so important that the angel is called to, or she cries it out in a loud voice right before the end of this age? Yes, Travis.
In worshiping, if I want to go back to the book of Daniel, where they're worshiping on the plains of Dura, I believe, and that image is set up for Nebuchadnezzar. They're worshiping the image, but in a sense, they're really worshiping the king. And so if this is God is the Sabbath marks God as our creator, and by paying worship, we recognize him as our life giver, our sustainer, and also as the God that gives us salvation and sanctifies us. And so it's recognizing and putting all our complete trust in God. And so it's after this, the mark of the beast comes up, and we see that there's an alternate, when we study, we find it's an alternate day of worship that actually points to someone other than the creator.
Mm. Tricia Lee?
Travis mentioned Daniel, and when you look at the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, we're told that there is a false system of worship that is set up, one that's designed to take us away from our true creator. And when you read in Daniel, you realize that that false system of worship is intends to change times and laws, to change the Ten Commandments, and specifically Revelation shows us he wants to change that fourth commandment about the Sabbath. And so when God said it was a sign for his people, then it's a sign for us today so that we can also identify any false systems that will take us away from God as creator, God as our savior, and attack that time, the special time that he set up mm-hmm. to be with us. That's why it's so important. That's why the angel is shouting it with urgency. Mm.
So let's get practical now. You have a loved one, maybe a family member or a friend, mm-hmm. maybe a devoted follower of Jesus, mm-hmm. and they say to you, Gladys, I really don't see anything about the Sabbath thing, you know. I think love God with all your heart, love your neighbor. By the way, those are both true, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm really not convicted about this Sabbath that we studied about here today. What would you say to her if she came and she's sincere? Well, how would you respond?
Well, for me, I will first just share my experience with the Sabbath and with the Lord and invite her to spend a Sabbath with us.
Okay, so you would give your testimony of how not you had a legalistic adherence to some strict regulation, but your relationship with God in the context of Sabbath, and invite her to, isn't there a text that says, taste and see that the Lord is good? Right, to share that. That's a good answer. Someone else, what would you say? Maybe it's a loved one. They say, I think you're being rigid and legalistic, or you're living in some old bygone era. Mm-hmm. What would you say to him, Harold?
Well, Jesus said, I believe in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. And given that it was God who set that date, I say like as a date with God, like, wow, Lord, oh, you want to spend time. And I need that time as well with you to be recharged and have a different perspective of the week ahead. And it's a special day that you chose. So I want to respect that. If I love you, I am going to spend that time because you set that date. It would be like if my wife says, hey, Harold, let's do a date on Tuesday. And I say, no, let's do it on Wednesday. It's not going to work out. She set the date. Let's love her by following that date. Mm. So, I mean, that's
so you would apply that. There is something else we could do for a person besides inviting them to giving my testimony, tasting and seeing, using the analogy of a human relationship. What else could we do for that loved one, neighbor, friend who says, I really don't see any significance in Sabbath for my life today?
I would pray that they come to a new perspective. Mm. Pray that, you know, some of the scales, if you would, fall from their eyes and they can see it differently. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to see something differently without the Holy Spirit really helping you to have that new experience.
Trisha Lee, I was hoping you'd say that, even though it wasn't there spelled out in our outline, but, you know, pray. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately the transformation of a loved one's life is not our work. Mm-hmm. It's the God's work through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the text that came to my mind, Trisha Lee, when you were talking about I can pray for her, I can pray for him, was in Colossians 4:2, where it says, continue earnestly in prayer, mm-hmm. being vigilant or watchful mm-hmm. with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. If I'm praying for her, if I'm praying for him, I then watch and see how the Holy Spirit's working. And perhaps the most powerful witness is my own life, mm. right? Mm-hmm. And my own testimony.
Amen. Amen.
My friend, there's someone you know and love that maybe they just heard about the Sabbath, but they don't understand what a precious gift, all the way back from creation, this gift is to remind us God wants a saving relationship with us, but also a transforming relationship with us. You have permission from the great Creator God to rest on the seventh day and to enjoy his presence and all of the blessings. By the way, Jesus said we can also do good on the Sabbath mm-hmm. because he wants us to share his love with mm-hmm. those around us. Let's pray we can experience the Sabbath as our Creator intended. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of Sabbath, not as a burden, but as a blessing, not as a legal requirement, but as a special time to be with our loving God. And I pray that we would not only experience the transformation that Sabbath time with you brings, but that you would also pour your love through us to be a blessing to others. Guide us on that journey in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. You know that reminder comes every week. Remember, not just the day, but remember the God who loves you with an everlasting love. Mm-hmm. And go out, be a blessing to those around you.